I was wondering if there was a thought to share on the fact that Haggai spoke first. The word of the Lord came to Haggai to speak first to Zerubbabel and to Joshua. In a sense, the governor and the priests, they were the ones that first heard the message.
God is the God of order. And he is the one who allowed Zerubbabel and Joshua to be in the places that they were, to have that position that they have. And he speaks to the leadership of the country at that time. Ecclesiastes says, "Woe to the land when the king is a child." The leadership is in serious problems. So he starts with those who were the leaders and explains to them what the attitude and thought of the people were. "This people say," verse 2, "the time has not come for the Lord's house to be built." But that was what it was in the hearts of the people and what they were saying. Now Zerubbabel and Joshua could not do the building by themselves. Everybody had to put a hand to the work. Just as in Nehemiah chapter 3, you had the builders there, starting with Eliashib the high priest building the wall. They need every man to put his hand to the work. Not that we look around to see if they're putting their hands to the work, but everyone is needed. There is no person that is superfluous in God's business. Everyone is needed. So he starts with the leadership. And they are in that position to lead. He gives the word to them. When we go back to the children of Israel coming through the wilderness, to whom does the Lord give the word? He gives the word to Moses and to Aaron. The Lord spake to Moses and to Aaron. He starts with the leadership and passes that message down to the people. God is a God of order.
And when we look at Ezra 5, we see that they are the ones that start the work again. These two individuals, prompted by the word of the Lord.
And the prophets help them build this. So prophetic ministry is very helpful in building the house of God. It says in chapter 5 of Ezra that with them was the prophets of God helping them, Haggai and Zechariah, literally, physically help them build.
We see something beautiful about what your question, brother, at the end of the chapter, not to jump ahead, but it just connects with what you're saying. It says in verse 14, "And the Lord, Jehovah, stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people." So the activity that took place as a result of this message was a stirring of something deep inside of them. It wasn't just, "Oh, we'll please the prophet. We'll do an outward pleasing." No, it stirred them deep inside so that there was a response, a genuine response to the word of God.
I was just thinking, too, that in the very first verse, it's very clearly chronicled the time frame you're talking about. In verse 1, "In the second year of King Darius, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month," and so on. So it was very, going back to the history, God did not intervene immediately when the problem started. He allowed it to develop over a period of time. And then when that time had come to an end, as it were, very specifically, he comes in at a time and sends the word to Haggai.
It seems as though the Lord was waiting for them to respond to the previous word of the Lord that came to them. I was thinking of what Mark said earlier about Jeremiah. And it was clear it was time. It was past the 70 years. It was time to build. But they were saying in their hearts, it's not time. They weren't heeding the previous prophet, Jeremiah. Whether they were taught that or not is unknown, but that was the message from Jeremiah. And one could understand by reading the scriptures what time it is we live in. What is the time that we live in, and how are we to behave? Faithfulness is it crosses all time periods. And one thing that was happening is the leadership here became complacent, and they also acted as the people. They also stopped working, Zerubbabel and Joshua. And their example did not help the problem.
And people that came back who couldn't trace their genealogy. So if you can't trace your genealogy, you can't break bread. They were not alive. They were priests of the sons of Barzillai, but they couldn't trace their genealogy. Now, we can trace our genealogy. We trace it to that lovely man up there, Lord Jesus. But they couldn't trace their genealogy. So they weren't allowed to take part in the most holy things.
Picking up on something that Brother Sam mentioned, the Lord allowed a specific time to pass while they were sitting down and checking on their houses. And then he spoke through the prophet Haggai. When we come to verse 15, in the 4th and 20th day of the 6th month, the spirits were stirred up. So God sent the message at the time when he could speak through Haggai to the leadership, to the people, stir up the heart of the leadership and the heart of the people to get to work. Took about 23 days. Yeah. Yeah. The essence of prophetic ministry is God speaking at the time when it is needed. And the strength of prophetic ministry is the people responding by having their hearts stirred by the Spirit of God. If we do not hear the word when it comes, we come back to the verse in Job, I think 14. God speaks once, yea, twice. That man pursues, deceiveth it not. When it comes to Joseph in interpreting the dream of Pharaoh, God gave the dream to Pharaoh twice because this thing shall shortly come to pass. And twice we have here, consider your ways, because this thing must shortly come to pass.
One might also look history to see, understand how the people came to the point that they would say, now is not the time to build the Lord. And they could rationalize it on the basis of the fact that there was injunctions given by the intermediate Persian kings to stop the work. They could rationalize it beyond the fact that the old men, those who've seen it, were discouraged because it wasn't as good or as big as Solomon's temple. And so you can rationalize how they drifted into a state and a condition where they say, now's not the time. It's not the time. We don't have leave by the government. The government has sent an injunction to stop us. So we can't do that. The old men, they're discouraging us because it's not as good as it used to be. And these are very real things that we can see happening, you know, if we make application today, is that we can say, well, you know, I don't want to be, you know, it's not the time. It's not the time because, you know, I can blame the leadership. I can blame the history, you know, the history. Or I can say, well, the government is opposed to such and such and such. But how many of our brethren around the globe, in desiring to do what God wants them to do, go against the authority of men because it violates the authority of God? Again, it's really getting back to the point of who's in control. Who's sovereign in our affairs? Do I really understand that God is sovereign in our affairs? Otherwise, I can rationalize and get to the point just like these people. How do you get to the point where you say, now is not the time? They particularly came and specifically came to do it. They started it. And then they got discouraged by perhaps the weeping of the older generation. They got discouraged by the edicts of the government and those who were opposed to the work, by those who were pretenders who wanted to help them. And all these things sort of worked against them and worked against them. They said, well, now's not the time.